This is the Cato Daily Podcast for Tuesday, March 26, 2024. I'm Caleb Brown. When COVID-19 looked like it might devastate American private schooling, Cato's Center for Educational Freedom began tracking the sector's health, cataloging schools going out of business, and enrollment trends. Cato's Neil McCluskey has a new Cato paper on the subject out today. We discussed the latest version of his survey results. Neil, it was right about 4 years ago. 4 years ago, last week, in fact, when the United States of America kind of shut down. And this affected education in a pretty significant way. Public schools were closed. Private schools were closed, but perhaps to a lesser extent. Can you give me a sense of what that change looked like, at least initially, and any differences or similarities between public and private schools?
Well, if you go back to 4 years when the United States was quickly locking down in response to this still fairly mysterious illness called COVID, you saw public and private schools all being shut down, often by the order of governors or local policymakers. So there wasn't a big difference between public and private schools because they were all tended to be subject to these orders. What we did see very quickly was that private schools much faster went to meaningful education. So it was online, but they quickly got into their curriculum and continuing to move along in that curriculum, where we saw a lot more public schools sort of just trying to jury-rig anything they could together just to keep some kind of learning going and not falling on the curriculum. So basically, the 2019-2020 school year ended with virtual education for almost everybody. But when you start the 2020-21 school year, you see lots of private schools reopening in person. The vast majority of public schools do not. And then that's sort of the trend for the next, basically that school year and the following school year, or at least half a school year. Private schools are open with masking and distancing and lots of things like that. And public schools tend to be closed. But what's really important, at least we feared when this started, was that COVID would end many private schools because, unlike public schools, they tend to be heavily tuition dependent. They need people to voluntarily pay for them. And if they couldn't supply even that basic of education, in-person education, we thought lots of people would just say, what's the point of paying? And they would leave. And so we did see that, and we started to think, well, we need to track what's happening to private schools and private schooling, because unlike public schools, this really could have been the end for a whole lot of private schools and a whole lot of private schooling.
All right. So that was 2020. And I think, as you're quick to point out, because this was information that wasn't routinely gathered, because there wasn't any need to routinely gather it, I suppose, the data from that time period isn't quite as robust as we might hope.
Yeah, so what happened was basically we have COVID. Certainly school choice people, at least, certainly I and others, were really afraid that this was going to be doom for many private schools. And nobody tracks the health of private schools on a kind of real-time basis. The federal government will collect data on the universe of private schools, but it's always 2 or 3 years behind the current year. So we started to track just reports of schools closing. What schools were they? What were their enrollments? This was of private schools under COVID. And we realized that there was a need to get a better idea of the national situation for private schools. So basically, my research associate at the time, Solomon Chen, and I, we said, well, we're going to do a survey. And so we put together a survey in the best way we knew how, because these things really didn't exist on a sort of regular, quick basis for private schooling. We randomly selected 400 private schools from the federal database and sent them surveys saying, what is your enrollment situation like? This was as we went from the 2019-2020 school year, so the very beginning of COVID, to the next school year. And we saw that there were most schools saw declining enrollment. Many schools had gone out of business. And that decline was pretty big. I think it was around 12 or so kids on average. So we started to be the first to collect, you know, meaningful data on the health of private schooling. And we've now done this for 4 years. So we just completed our last survey. Each year it got a little bigger. So the second year we sampled 800 schools. We thought, well, that'll give us a good sample size. Turns out private schools probably weren't as worried about going out of business at that point. We got a lower response rate. So the next year we got an even bigger sample. And then we went for about the same size sample this year. And what we have found is, as we feared, there was major enrollment loss after that period of lockdowns. But as you would expect from schools that have to attract families to stay in business, basically the following 3 years, we saw the majority of schools reporting that they had enrollment increases. And those increases were around 5% or so of enrollment each year. But it has declined, that increase, each of those following 3 years.
Do you have any expectations about what that's going to look like in a few years? We have seen since the start of the pandemic, after years of sort of stagnation in the expansion of school choice, we've seen many states go much harder into that area, allowing parents to have a much more wide variety of robust options that often includes private schools and private school tuition. What are your expectations going forward?
Well, I guess the first thing I should say is what we've observed in school choice the last 3 or so years. So one of the things we saw, and our data supports this, is that private schools tended to open in person much faster, to be much more responsive to parents. And we saw lots of people start to take their kids there because their public schools weren't opening. And that probably spurred, to a large extent, a big increase in school choice, starting with 2021, where we had 19 states either create new private school choice programs or expand what they had. 2022 was a bit of a lull, but Arizona creates the first universal education savings account program that year. And then last year, 2023, you have a whole bunch of additional states, and maybe 10 or so, I don't have the final count, that expand or create new school choice. And what's really important about 2023 was a whole bunch of these were universal programs, like Arizona's, where they say there's no longer limits on who is eligible. Not always is there funding for everybody, but there's no longer a requirement that you be low income or that you be assigned to a public school that's deemed failing. Now the idea is everybody, as a matter of principle, should be able to take at least some of their education money to private schools. That's a huge change in the nature of school choice. But there are some countervailing forces here. So we have, as I said, seen a decline in the number of private schools that say they had an increase from the previous year and the decline in the number of kids on average that increase. We fully expected that because as public schools eventually reopened to normal operation, lots of people said, you know, again, as has always been the case, it doesn't make sense for me to pay twice for education, once for public schools, and then a second time if I want private. And so once they could return to what was sort of normalcy that also wasn't as expensive for them, they did that. So while choice will help to expand the number of students in private schools, this bump from COVID is probably going to largely dissipate. And a lot of people kind of forget that their public schools weren't often there for them during COVID. And at least at the outset, many of the people who use school choice are already in private schools because they're the first ones to know about these programs. And of course, they're like, hey, I have an immediate use for this because I shouldn't have to keep paying twice, or at least as much paying twice. And so, of course, I'm going to use this school choice. What we've tended to see, at least in the states with some long-term data, is the percentage of people using choice who are already in private schools goes down as the choice program lasts longer. But what that says for the future is we probably are in the next year or two going to see sort of flat enrollment in private schools. But as these school choice programs come online and people start to hear about them, I think we're going to see, again, an increase ultimately in private school enrollment. But it'll be 3 or 4 or 5 years before we really start to detect that. And it's important that people understand we're coming off of a big peak because of COVID. And those two things, expansion of choice, but coming off that peak, are going to tend to counteract each other.
So we've seen, I suppose, and you can tell me where I'm wrong here, but we have seen a decline in public school enrollment, have we not?
Yeah, we've definitely seen a decline in public school enrollment. The question has been, where are those students going? And what we seem to see is homeschooling had a big growth, bigger than private schooling, bigger than charter schooling in the immediate period after COVID. And it seems to have kind of lasted, although it certainly dissipated. Part of the question, though, was, well, were people saying they were homeschooling because they had taken charge of their children's education and they're doing it at home, which is kind of like how you would define homeschooling? Or did they think, well, okay, my public school, the instruction now comes over a computer in my home, and so I'm homeschooling. So some of those early reports on homeschooling probably overstated the degree people were schooling at home, but it certainly increased. So that's part of it. We have a growth of kind of micro schools and other little private schools that are kind of hard to track. So we may be seeing that. And then there seem to be some kids who just dropped out and didn't come back. So it is certainly the case that public schooling enrollment or public school enrollment has gone down. It's a little harder to pinpoint exactly where all those students have gone, but there does seem to be a somewhat large percentage that just kind of disappeared or fell off the rolls.
Neil McCluskey directs the Cato Institute's Center for Educational Freedom. Free Society is the new quarterly magazine from the Cato Institute. The inaugural issue features a cover story from Joan Norberg on the precarious state of human freedom and much more. That's all at cato.org/freesociety. Subscribe to and rate the Cato Daily Podcast wherever you please. Thank you for listening.